We should never be afraid to be who we were created to be. In 1994, the guest speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. was a little old nun. Major government leaders, including the president and his wife, were in attendance and watched as the nun walked out onto the stage before her talk. This nun was famous. Her name was Mother Teresa, and she served the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. Now, everyone listened intently as she began her speech. After all, she was respected worldwide for her service to the poor. Everyone knows Mother Teresa. She began the talk by speaking about love and how true love leads to peace in the world. But then she said something that made everyone sit up. Quote, "I feel the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing against the innocent child, murder by the mother herself." Here was Mother Teresa, who everyone expected to talk about the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, and yet she was talking in very strong language about the children who were killed by direct abortions. But that exactly was her point, that the unborn were the poorest of the poor, because they had no one to fight for them. You see, Mother Teresa was not afraid to be who she was, a Catholic unafraid to stand up for the gospel at all costs. Now, the second reading this morning comes from St. Paul's second letter to St. Timothy. You might not know, but Timothy was a close friend and disciple of Paul and had traveled with him on Paul's missionary journeys. Now, sometime after his journeys with Paul, Timothy would be ordained a priest and bishop and would be left in charge of one of the communities Paul had founded. The famous saying that comes up in this section of the letter refers to the moment of ordination when Timothy was consecrated to serve the church as a bishop. St. Paul writes to him, "Stir into flame the gift of God that you received from the imposition of my hands." St. Paul, being a bishop himself, had actually ordained Timothy. Whenever Paul or another apostle would ordain a man to be a priest or bishop, they would lay their hands on their head, a sacred practice that has been preserved down through the centuries to this day. Now, we know that Timothy was actually young when he was ordained, because elsewhere, Paul encourages Timothy to not let his youth discourage him. In this passage, Paul is reminding Timothy to not be ashamed of his vocation, no matter his age, no matter the opposition he was facing. He simply needed to participate in the graces of ordination that he was given when he was ordained a priest of Jesus Christ. St. Timothy was unexperienced, himself being young, and clearly, by the context, was already getting opposition to his episcopal ministry, which was affecting him greatly, or else Paul would not have mentioned it. Yet to Paul, and of course to our Lord, Timothy's youth and the opposition he was facing didn't matter. Timothy had been given a sacred charge to evangelize and bring people into relationship with Christ and his church. So Paul was saying, Timothy had to rely on the grace of ordination. Now, as we all learned, I'm sure, in CCD 101, each of us has a vocation, a calling in this life. Right? The main vocations, as we know, are to holy matrimony, the single life, holy orders, or to be a consecrated religious brother or sister. But no matter what vocation to which we're called, all of us are called to evangelize, to bring people to Christ. In fact, it's the church's very nature to evangelize. So often, though, we become complacent in evangelization. We don't want to do it, or we can simply forget to do it. But there is no mistaking it. The future of the church in West Virginia should compel us to evangelize. We have to always make an active effort, you see, to strive to bring people into the church, particularly those who are very far from God, those who have left the church, and in a particular way, those Catholics who no longer attend church regularly. Now, at first glance, evangelization, to bring Christ to others, it can seem intimidating. I mean, what do we say? How do we not offend others? How do we make people feel welcome? How do we not be pushy? It's in these moments, like St. Timothy, have to remember our calling. Through our baptism, we were actually given the grace to evangelize, to be a prophet for Christ. In theology, we say that we were given a share in Christ's prophetic role to be able to preach the gospel. And then through our confirmations, we have the strength to be witnesses of the gospel. It's just up to us to be willing to cooperate. By virtue of our baptism, our Lord is always willing to give us the grace to be his messengers to a fallen world. Yet it's we who do not like to cooperate with that grace. Yet we need to rekindle in ourselves, to stir into flame, to use Paul's words, a zeal for souls. We have to stir into flame the reality that Christ desires everyone to be saved, to be with him one day in heaven. And we often forget that we can freely choose to reject our Lord. We often forget that hell is a reality for every one of us. Uncomfortable though it may be, out of every topic that our Lord spoke about in the scriptures, he spoke about the reality of hell the most. Further, when Our Lady of Fatima appeared to those three shepherd children in 1917, she told them about the reality of hell and even gave them a glimpse of it. So Christ gave, when he gave the Great Commission to the apostles to preach to all nations, he meant it. But as I said, because of our human condition, we are complacent. And it's so easy to become complacent. All of us can, myself included. Therefore, like St. Timothy, we have to trust that our Lord will give us the grace to live out faithfully that to which he has called us. That when we are afraid to witness to our faith, if we ask for his help, we will receive it. Now, today, as you might know, is Respect Life Sunday, a Sunday when we particularly focus on the dignity of the human person from conception until natural death. Now, there are many components to being pro-life, but the first must be that we recognize the fundamental right to life in the womb. From there, all other rights flow. As Pope St. John Paul II once said, the right to health, to home, to work, to family, to culture, is false and illusory if the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right, the condition of all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination. Today's age needs a new evangelization on the right to life. The amount of misinformation circulating about what Catholics hold is very sad. The Church, as we know, supports life in the womb to the tomb. We are the largest charitable organization in the world. There is always hope and help for a young mother in any situation. Life is always worth living. Further, there is always hope for those women who have experienced abortion. God's mercy is inexhaustible. As Catholics, it can be so easy, especially due right now to the strong current in the culture, to compromise and not defend life whenever abortion is brought up in conversation amongst our friends or coworkers, or to try to make it equal to issues that in reality it is not equal to. A person's right to life comes first. Right now, all you have to do is turn on the TV. There is a great hatred brewing against Catholics because of the Church's consistent moral voice. In fact, the last moral voice in this world. The Church stands strong in her teaching on the sanctity of human life. She has to. We cannot compromise on truth. Christ's voice remains in his Church, no matter the era or the political situation. At the end of the day, we will all have to answer to God for either our willingness or our unwillingness to be heralds of his gospel. As Congressman Henry Hyde once said, quote, "When the time comes, as it surely will, when we face that awesome moment, the final judgment, I've often thought," as Fulton Sheen wrote, "that it is a terrible moment of loneliness. You have no advocates. You are there alone standing before God. and a terror will rip your soul like nothing you can imagine. But I really think, he says, that those in the pro-life movement will not be alone. I think there'll be a chorus of voices that have never been heard in this world, but are heard beautifully and clearly in the next world. And they will plead for everyone who has been in this movement. They will say to God, spare him because he loved us. We must never be afraid to stand up for what is right, but we must always do it with charity. As Mother Teresa once said, any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what it wants. What is taking place in America, she said, is a war against the child. And if we accept that the mother can kill her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? You know, it makes perfect sense to me why we have so much violence in our country today. We've been taught that life is actually not valuable at every moment, no matter what. As Catholics, we are called to uphold the gospel of life, even if our family members, our friends, and coworkers do not. We are called to help mothers and fathers in need when they come to us. There is so much help available. We just need to be beacons of Christ's hope. The world needs evangelization. And standing up for the right to life is just one form. Evangelization happens in everyday life. We don't necessarily have to knock on doors. What we can do is to invite others to Mass with us, and then perhaps get a meal afterward. A great way is to speak to them about how important Christ and the Church is to us. Or we can encourage people to talk to a priest when they're going through a hard time or struggling with a church teaching. Those who disagree with us do not hold the same morality, so it is difficult for them to grasp charity in the midst of opposition. Nonetheless, we must always continue to be charitable when people disagree with us, not giving up hope on them. In the end, the greatest evangelization is simply to live our Catholic faith publicly with love. Pope St. Paul VI said it so well. Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses. We can never forget the need to bring souls to Christ. For the enemy, Satan, is certainly working to bring souls to hell. God has given us the grace to live out the calling he has given us, particularly the call to evangelize. But it's up to us to stir into flame that grace. Mother Teresa was not afraid to stand up for truth. She knew who she was. She knew who she represented. And she knew that our Lord was always worth fighting for. As St. Catherine of Siena once said, if you be who God meant you to be, you will set the world on fire. As I look around here, every pew and space in this church should be filled on Sundays. What ways this week can we help others to experience the beauty and truth of our Catholic faith? Amen.